Yes, for those of you who have come today morning, welcome once again. So the oral posture, like our body posture, is you make your tongue touch the upper palate, close the teeth and your lips, and then breathe through the nose. Very simple. Take a deep breath. As you breathe in, observe the muscles of your stomach expand. As you breathe out, observe the muscles of your stomach contract. Breathe slowly and deeply. Visualize a shining bright white star in the middle of your forehead. Shining bright white star, spreading its white rays of peace and relaxation all over your face. As these white rays of peace and relaxation, they travel through your neck, through your shoulders, through your chest, through your back, through your hands, and through your stomach, your whole upper body is shining with white light. Continue to breathe slowly and deeply while you spread the vibrations of peace and relaxation around you. As these white rays pass through your trunk, through your thighs, through your knees, through your legs and through your toes, you are able to see yourself as a being of light. Every cell of your body shining brightly and spreading rays of peace and relaxation around you. Through your mind's eye, continue to see this being of light as who you are. Visualize and experience the white rays of peace and relaxation spreading around you. Gently move your arms, rub your palms, and wipe your eyes. Silence is what I learned with Brahmakumari 30 years ago. And as we talked about applied spirituality yesterday, we just sat in meditation for 2 minutes. That's 120 seconds. And do you see the difference it has made in 120 seconds? If you wanted to have a conversation, is this a better state to start? Yes? So do you want to practice this at the beginning of your meetings? Is it possible? It's very simple. Just 90 seconds. Just sit there, do some deep breathing, focus on yourself, and then start. Is it possible? So one of my friends in Google, he was meeting us a few years ago. He shared this interesting experience. When he was meeting with his global counterparts as a part of his regular meeting, agenda would run over and they were never able to complete the items. Then he started this new practice where the first 5 minutes, they would switch on the videos, they would join the meeting and just be silent. They wouldn't do anything. Just be silent. Not twiddling their thumbs, not checking their mobile. You have to have your camera on and just be there for first 5 minutes. Just with this simple practice of starting with silence, he saw a drastic change in the next few weeks. 95% of his meetings were completing, not only finishing the agenda, but they were also happening before time. With just a few minutes of silence. And there is a reason, science behind it. Whenever you change your attention from one task to the next, brain requires some energy to perform that attentional switch. And that is what we call as brain switching penalty. Many times, almost all of you are leaders, when you have back-to-back meetings, have you observed when you move into the next meeting, it's the previous meeting's thoughts that still keep continuing? And then you take some time to reorient yourself. That is what we call as attentional residue. So whatever you paid attention to, that is continuing into the next meeting, and that's not good. Yes? Because now you are losing of what is happening in this meeting. And the best way to break that and reduce the brain switching penalty is to start with 2 minutes of silence, even 90 seconds. Because when you breathe deeply and slowly, you also start thinking slowly. There's a very close relationship between breathing and thinking. Try to breathe deeply and slowly and think fast. Impossible. That is why when you are anxious, you must have heard your elders or friends say that, just take a couple of deep breaths, it's okay. This is the reason. Because breathing, thinking and aging, all the three are related. The faster you think, the faster you breathe. And the faster you breathe, the faster you age. That is why tortoise, which lives for 120 years, one of the longest living terrestrial animals, it takes only 2 breaths per minute. Only 2. And the sweet spot is, this is again both through research and through the science of pranayama, if we can take 6 breaths per minute, that's ideal. 6 breaths, if we can aim for that. Very simple. 4 seconds, you breathe in. 3 seconds, 2 seconds you hold. That's 6 seconds. And then 4 seconds, you breathe out. Or you can even do 3 plus 3 plus 4. So that makes it per minute 6 breaths. And then check yourself how you feel. Because automatically you will slow down. 10 to 12. And when you're anxious, it can even go to 15, 16. And most of the time we do shallow breathing. That's why we get exhausted. Because we don't take in enough air and we don't hold and then exhale it fully, which is very important. Inhales are shallow, exhales are shallow. If you can start doing it, then slowly you will start reducing the number of breaths per minute and you will start seeing the difference. It won't happen overnight, it will take few months or maybe depending on the practice even years, but it is a good practice to aim for. Can I be honest? I don't have an answer. So this is in the normal, even I don't, I'm assuming that in New Delhi, even I don't think there is a lot of polluted air even inside the homes, only when you go out you experience it. So whenever you are in an environment where there is not much pollution, you can start practicing this pranayama. And the meaning is beautiful. Prana is the life force, the life itself. Ayama means perspective. The exercise that helps you to change your perspective. When you are anxious, your perspective is different. When you are relaxed, your perspective is different. Yes or no? So that is why it's called pranayama. That which helps you to change your perspective. Now, oral posture, I said, you sit straight, the tongue touches the palate lightly, close the teeth and the lips, and then you start breathing through your nose. A lot of our health related issues can be resolved if only we breathe through the nose and not through the mouth. You must have seen when you are observing or when you are listening, you might not have observed for yourself, but and then you start breathing through the mouth and that's not good. So consciously when we start practicing, it's very good for health, and that's a separate session itself. We are not going to discuss that, but trust me, breathing only through the nose is very, very healthy. Good. Well, you watched a very interesting video where he talks about belief, about perspective. So for the last many years, I've been trying to see whatever Brahma Kumaris are teaching, whatever I've been practicing and the small change that I was able to see in my life, is there something that I can share with the larger audience which they can start using in their day-to-day life? And that's what I call it as applied spirituality. We have come here for 3 days, then we definitely want to take something with us which makes us more efficient and effective. That's what summarizes what I have learned from Brahma Kumaris and what, if you have attended today's Raj Yoga session, talks about Aham Atma Mama Shariram. And for the next few minutes, this is what we will explore. Looks so simple, but it's very, very profound and powerful. That I am the soul and this is my body. Aham Atma Mama Shariram. Looks simple. Right? So this is what we call as the Sar, and now we will discuss the Vistar, the expansion, and how it can be applied. And this is what I call this as the soul conscious leadership. So this framework that I'm going to share with you now is called as soul conscious leadership. Leadership principles derived from being soul conscious. So what is soul consciousness and why it is important and why this framework is so useful in current times, we will discuss that. First thing about this framework is it starts with smriti, that is awareness, which talks about who I think I am. Then comes vritti. From smriti comes my attitude, how I look at things. Smriti comes from the word smara, means remember, means memory. What is it that the picture that I have of myself, what I believe of myself, it starts with that smriti, then there is vritti, then there is drishti. Who I think I am governs how I see things, my vritti, that is my attitude. And my attitude decides what I see. Yes, our experience also shows that. The how decides the what. That is how we filter what we are seeing. That is why two people don't see the same thing, because they are looking at it from a different perspective. And vision is what leads to kriti, action. Because that is what motivates me or demotivates me to act or not to act. So from drishti comes kriti. And from kriti comes srishti, the creation, whatever we create. And this is what feeds back into our smriti, and this becomes a cycle. As leaders, all of us are interested in some way changing this. Yes or no? Srishti, creating something new, something more beautiful, something that can help more people. This is where our focus is a lot of times. And then, whatever helps us do this, we try to start focusing here on the action, the doing, what even Shivan even talked about. But there is something more which we are missing. Because as long, until we do not start with the first step, smriti, you won't be able to change the srishti. Interesting? This is what we will explore, and this is a very simple framework. Smriti se vritti, vritti se drishti, drishti se kriti, kriti se srishti. And then that srishti is what becomes our conditioning, and that is what becomes our smriti again. Now this becomes a virtuous circle or a vicious circle. Where do we break in? Most of the times we try to break in here. Thoda ye kiya, thoda wo kiya. Won't change much, because fundamentally we should begin from here, and that's the fundamental change I learned from Brahma Kumaris, that I start with, I am a soul, I am not this body, this is my body. That simple fact that I am a soul, how does it transform? Let's explore. So when we talk about smriti, awareness, what does it mean? It is who you believe you are. Interesting thing about awareness is, it's very subtle and unconscious. It's always there. When you step into your office, what's your awareness? When you step into your home, is there a difference or not? You see how the awareness, it's the same you, but your awareness changes when you move with your friends, when you step out to represent your office or country, what's your awareness? Now let's explore this a little more. Please don't mind, I've picked up an example which our post-independence education has taught us. Science says our ancestors were like, that's what we learned. Religion says our ancestors were like. Now that's a question of belief. If this is what your awareness is, this is how you think. I am fundamentally an ape with basal instincts, and my nature is to fight and win, for it will be the survival of the fittest. But in order to get along with others, I must suppress these basal emotions, because it stems from my awareness. Now suppose I change my awareness, my smriti, who I believe I am, who I am. I am fundamentally divine, and my nature is peace, love and joy. even if you consider this just as an experiment, as a conjecture, then what happens? So when I believe that I am fundamentally divine, then I start focusing on emerging and expressing these latent qualities through introspection and meditation. I don't have to become something. I am already that. See the big difference? And you're not talking about what is right, no, what is wrong. We're not talking about that at all. It's nothing about right or wrong. But what is important for all of us to understand is my awareness impacts my action. And my belief impacts my behavior. Most of the behavioral change interventions do not work because we do not focus at the underlying beliefs. They remain as is, and we try to change the external ones, and after a few days or weeks or months, we go back. This is the reason. We focus on results and behaviors, and then we do these all these sessions about what we feel, how we can change our feelings, forgetting that I create those feelings based on what I think, and what I think is again based on what I believe. And most of the beliefs we are not even aware of, because that's what awareness is made of. So fundamentally, if you want to change this, it starts here. It's difficult. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's possible. Because this change is more lasting. When you do at any other level, it would not last. That's the importance of awareness. Now that awareness leads to the vritti, the attitude, how I look at things. And how I look at things influences what I look. I'll demonstrate that in a minute. And then the circle completes. So let's focus on these two now. We saw how awareness impacts my action. Agreed? Belief impacts behavior, or belief guides the behavior. Two important principles. Agreed? Good. So now let's move on. Vritti and drishti. What do you see? Go ahead, speak up. Yes. Baby, okay. It's a bird. And what are these? Birds. What is this? Water. What is this? Legs, a bird, a beak, and more birds. Clear? Now this is what we are seeing. And this is what we are seeing. Now, tell me what you are seeing. Very good. You see a fish? Yes, you see a couple of trees. Fantastic. Yes, you see a frog. And then you see a boat. Yes, a man in a boat, and you see some tents, and then now water has moved back. Okay, and some sort of an island here, because the fish is here, naturally this is water. I did not change any, even a single pixel between these two pictures. It's exactly the same. Is there a bird here? Is there a fish here? Is there a tree here? Is there a leg here? The answer is, it depends on how you look. Exactly. So please write this very important principle. For all of us managers, very important. And if you don't mind, if I sound pedantic, you're okay, because that's my style. I don't want you to miss anything interesting. When I change the way I look at things, the things I look at change. When I change the way I look at things, the things I look at change. Interesting? Things remain the same. Picture remains the same. Reality remains the same. If picture is reality, reality remains the same. But how I am looking, my vritti determines what I am looking at. My vision. You agree with that now? Does anyone disagree? Because what I look at is completely dependent on how I am looking. When I change the way I look at things, the things I look at change. I'll give you one very important effect in management, which is built on this principle. It's called Pygmalion effect. You can just make a note. I won't go into the details, but that's homework for you to explore. Pygmalion effect, P-Y-G-M-A-L-I-O-N, Pygmalion effect. And this P-Y-G-M-A-L-I-O-N, Pygmalion effect. Because that is what explores this aspect of when I change the way I look at things, the things I look at change. So when I bring in my new awareness that I am a soul and not this body, because I'm starting with my smriti, I'm changing the smriti itself, the foundation, then what happens? Let's explore that. Because from smriti comes my sthiti, my state of being. And from sthiti comes my swaroop. When I continuously be in that state, I become an embodiment. And my swaroop decides my samarthi. Smriti says sthiti, sthiti says swaroop, and swaroop says samarthi. From when I become an embodiment of that, that is what I keep exhibiting. That is what becomes my capability, my samarthi. Samarthi is capability. Yeah. Samarthya is also capability. Yes. So smriti says sthiti, sthiti says swaroop, swaroop says samarthi. So now you see, if you want to change your capability, where will you begin? With smriti, with your awareness. That's very important. So when we talk about soul consciousness, when we talk about that awareness that I am soul and not body, what does it mean? These are some very simple principles, which is what we will explore in a little more detail. I am unique. Self-evident. Yes or no? We don't have to argue over that. You, when I say you are unique, you won't come to me and then argue, no, I am copycat of somebody else. It's straightforward, I am unique. I'm equal. Very important. I'm equal. We are different, but we are equal. We are not same, but we are equal. I'm valuable. Another simple principle of soul consciousness. I am master. I'm not a victim. I am master. I am creator. Not the created. I am the creator. I am creating my experience. I am light, which we just experienced. And I am connected, not alone. Very simple. You might be feeling lonely, whatever may be the reason, but you are always connected with all others around you. And I am capable. We can call this as self-evident axioms, because we don't need to prove them, because they are self-evident. I am unique, I am equal, I am valuable, I am master, I am creator, I am light, I am connected, and I am capable. Now these form the foundation for our soul conscious leadership model. Because when we start having these in our smriti, in our awareness, these are the ones, and I'm eternal, very important. When I'm a soul, Very good question. Here, we are going to stop at the level which is actually going to help us before we go beyond. Is that okay? Yeah. Yes. I am connected with the other people around. That is how karma gets formed, the interpersonal karma, because we don't live alone. And when you are soul, when you are eternal, you keep taking births and you keep having those accounts with the other people. That's what it means. Here, we are talking only about here, with the people around. I'm connected. Okay? And when I start having this awareness, we will explore each one of them. We'll go into the detail and we will see how this awareness impacts our vritti and vritti impacts drishti, and through that kriti and srishti. This soul consciousness, when soul consciousness means when I am in the awareness of all these. When I am in this awareness, genuine love and compassion develops. Non-judgmental awareness and listening happens. And I'll show you how we derive these from these. You develop empathy. And as managers, leaders, you can create psychologically safe teams. I'll show you how in this framework. It's so simple. It gives you that confidence. And you can become a better decision maker, which is another very important aspect of leadership. So I'll show you how from these simple principles, which are self-evident, we can derive all these. So let's start. I am unique. Very simple. It's self-evident. We don't even have to argue. Now let's get into the vistar of I am unique. It means there is no one else like me. Simple. Another simple one, self-evident. We laugh when you say, Bala, itna yaha tak bula ke ye sab sikha rahe ho, ye sab bata rahe ho. You know this already. But now the fun begins. I am unique means you are also unique. Each one of us is unique. Now extend this. When I am unique, can I ever become like you? Can I ever become like you? Then why would I want to ape somebody and become like them instead of being myself? I stop trying to be someone else and I accept myself as I am. And that's one of the most important elements of self-acceptance. Constantly we are trying to ape and become somebody else. Fulfill someone else's expectations. Transform ourselves to impress somebody because we forgot our uniqueness. But that's a fundamental principle. I'm unique. Whatever I do, I can never become you. So when I start from this principle that I'm unique, because that's a feature, it's not a bug. Yes or no? It's not a bug, it's a feature. So then I start accepting who I am as I am. Yes, I can grow, I can improve, but that growth is also unique to me. I don't have to become like you because you are unique and I can never become like you. Then comparisons become irrelevant because I'm unique and so are you and so are you, so are you, so are you. And when there is no comparison, there is jealousy. उसके इतने फॉलोअर्स बन गए यार, एक महीने में, एक साल से मेहनत कर रहा हूं, एक भी काउंट नहीं बढ़ा. ईच वन इज यूनिक, सो नेचुरली देयर फॉलोअर काउंट ऑल्सो विल बी यूनिक, द नंबर ऑफ लाइक्स दे रिसीव विल ऑल्सो बी यूनिक. इट्स एज सिंपल एज दैट. एंड दैट इज वॉट इंप्रूव्स द पॉजिटिव सेल्फ एस्टीम. एंड यू स्टॉप क्रिटिसाइजिंग योर सेल्फ फॉर नॉट बीइंग एबल टू बी समवन एल्स. check your self-criticism. Most of the times it is that. Why aren't we doing like them? Why am I not able to speak like them? Why am I not able to do like them? By all means, improve, grow. But understand that you are unique. And when I'm unique, when you are unique, that is what starts developing non-judgmental awareness. Sakshi Drashta Sthiti. Being an observer and seeing things, not getting carried away, not judging and not wanting people to become like me. Or not forcing people to look at me the way I want them to look at. They will look at the way they want to look at because they are unique. When I am unique, when you are unique, so are your tastes, so are your reactions, your abilities, all are different from mine. And that's absolutely okay. I like black, you like white. That's absolutely okay. I like paneer and you are vegan. That's absolutely okay. I like coffee without milk and you like chai with a couple of spoons of sugar. Assuming you don't have, you know, the D thing. So you are unique means your tastes are unique. And I acknowledge that. And that is when mutual respect increases. And then I start listening to you. Because now I am no longer impose my thoughts, my ideas, and I don't want you to become like me because fundamentally I know you can never become like me, nor can I ever become like you. And that's what develops mutual respect. And when that respect is there, I start listening to your point of view. Because now we are unique means our points of view are unique. That means they can be different. We are permitting that difference. I am allowing you to be different. Fascinating stuff. Most of the times we don't allow. But once you internalize this belief, this awareness that I am unique, then there is no struggle. There is no kinshatan. You are you and I am me. Yes, absolutely. You're absolutely fine. I have never said that. So, if you see at the fundamental level, when you start respecting them without imposing and allowing them to make those choices by making them aware of what they can do better, the change starts happening much more. In a minute, you will understand that also. Is it okay? Can I move ahead? Yeah? And what is love? At heart, it is respect and safety. Not the Bollywood kind of love running around trees. Okay? Love at heart is respect and safety. I like being loved because the other person is respecting me and paying attention to me for who I am. That's why relationships are so beautiful. Because you make me feel valuable. And when I'm with you, you make me feel that I'm your world. And that's what I want. That's what makes me feel respected. And that's what we all want. And paying attention is the highest form of respect we can give to the other person. And that's what creates that safety. And where does this come from? When I start accepting you as you are. Such a big thing in relationships, ne? I am never accepted as I am. Hamesha kinchatan hota hai. Ye theek nahi hai, wo theek nahi hai, ye theek karo, wo theek karo. Why can't I be myself? Because you're unique, I respect you for who you are and allow you to be yourself. And that's empathy. Yes or no? Now we no longer need to struggle to be empathic. It comes as a natural outgrowth or a natural result of me remembering and being in this awareness that I am unique, you are unique. Simple. There is no struggle now. because we go back to first principles. And I don't need permission to be myself because I am unique too. Most of the interpersonal conflicts disappear. You need not like what I like, and I need not like what you like. And that is okay. Absolutely okay. And there's something very interesting about these conflicts. Do you know you are the reason for all the conflicts you face? I'm making a very, very simple but very profound statement. You are the reason for all your conflicts. My spouse doesn't wake up in time. She or he is happy doing what they are doing. It is me who is having a conflict with their behavior. They are happy doing what they are doing. My team member every day comes late. Now that became a point of conflict for both of us. Now the team member is happy coming late because they are happy doing what they are doing. It is you who is not happy. And that is why the conflict. Very important step in conflict resolution. Because a lot of it, whenever we talk about conflicts, we always talk at length about the other person, forgetting that you are originating that conflict because they are happy being themselves. I'm not saying you should not try to resolve it, but this changes the complete dynamics. Because then I can start focusing on me. And if it is me, then I'm in control. And I have another very simple principle, my definition of stress. You might want to write and then reflect. Whenever I try to control things that are not in my control, the result is stress. Very simple. Every time I get frustrated or stressed, I ask myself, Bala, what are you trying to control? Because whenever I try to control something that is not in my control, that's stress. Simple. When I'm preparing this session, will you respond? Will you write? Will you listen? Will you sleep? Will you clap after this? I have absolutely no control. But if I keep worrying about it while preparing, I'll get even more stressed. The only control I have is in preparing and then sharing. That's it. If it happens, it happens. And stress suddenly disappears. And it increases mutual acceptance. And I'm not saying that is agreement. Acceptance is different from agreement. Most of the times we don't want to accept because we are afraid the other person will take my acceptance as agreement. No. Acceptance means I respect your opinion as much I respect my opinion. And I can still withhold my agreement. And see the beauty. When I start accepting your opinion, then I listen. Most of the times, have you heard this when it said, if you want my buy-in, allow me to weigh in. If you want my buy-in, allow me to weigh in. That means if you want me to say yes to what you are saying, you first listen to me. I'm not saying you have to agree, but just listen to me. And how many times you felt, meri sunwai hui. Wo ha kahe na kahe theek hai, lekin unhone dhyan se meri baat suni. And you see how you feel? That is acceptance. Because that is what we look for. We don't look for agreement in most cases. What we look for is acceptance. And that comes naturally when I say I am unique. And by extension, you are also unique. I don't have to struggle for that. Absolutely. My son need not be as famous or as best as I am. We create so much pressure on our kids. I am an engineer and you want to become a painter, main kisko muh dikhaun? Din raat baith ke kuch ghista rehta hai. Kuch to ban yaar, kuch to. That's a complete violation of this I am unique principle. And the beauty is every time you violate any of these principles, you will experience sorrow. Whenever you're experiencing sorrow, you can just go back and check which principle are you violating. Whether at the level of self or at the level of interpersonal relationships. It's that simple. Just before coming here, there's this father who's a very famous businessman. He called me and he said, Balamai, you know, son is about 26. He's not growing. He's not using his time well. I said, kya hua? He's, you know, I just don't know for all these years. And I said, let me speak with the son. So I spoke with the son. And the son says, my father is extremely successful. And I constantly get compared with him since childhood. I don't like business. Mujhe business karna hi nahi hai. There is enough money my dad earned. My passion is painting. My passion is art. And that becomes a point of friction because you violated that principle. And see the amount of pressure we create, at least in India, that whatever I could not do, you should do. अरे ये क्या है? आप डॉक्टर नहीं बन सके इसलिए आपका बच्चा डॉक्टर बनना ही चाहिए. I got into private engineering college, you have to get into IIT. चलो कोटा. You are not even trying to understand what you need, what you want to become, what is it that you are good at, can you explore? Nothing. And how does this impact on work? Every team member is respected as they are. Because now I no longer need someone who thinks like me, who does like me. Yeh na mujhe 20 saal pehle mein jo tha na wo mujhe yaad dilata hai this fellow. He's going to become a superstar like me. Dekhte rehna. Because his attitude, the way he speaks, the way he does, it's like me. So I will always promote him. But this fellow, whatever I say, he will always come up with something opposite. I just can't tolerate this fellow. Every time I present something in the meeting, he will poke a hole and then say, aisa hota to. I'm sick and tired of this fellow. But when you start acknowledging that I am unique and you are unique, you are absolutely okay because that's how that person is. And you always have in your hands whether you want to agree or not. And when you start respecting, that is what we all look for. That creates that psychological safety. And you should search, you should Google about Google's project Aristotle. Very interesting work that they have done. And how they found out one of the most important aspects of high performing teams is people feeling psychologically safe. That does not mean they don't make mistakes. It means they don't hesitate to share their mistakes in the team because they feel safe. Because they are allowed to be themselves. How many times, just ask yourself, in a meeting, you want to say something and then, theek hai, pata nahi. You see that? And many such good ideas get withheld. Because we are not living this principle that I am unique and you are unique. And when I feel safe in your presence, that takes the conversations to a completely different level. Because now I no longer have to hide. I no longer have to wear a mask. I am. And no idea is brushed aside just because it is different. Because it's a feature, it's not a bug. And creates more opportunities for better ideas to be shared. What do you think? I can go on and on, but that gives you an idea of how a simple principle of self-evident principle, nothing new, that I am unique, how it gets translated when we bring it into life. Now that is soul consciousness. Because I'm conscious of these qualities when I come into action. Smriti, vritti, drishti, kriti. And then the kind of srushti you are going to do with your team, imagine what it's going to be, what quality it's going to be. And when I say I'm equal, I'm not same. I am neither lesser than somebody, someone, or more than someone. I am equal. You might have different capabilities. I might have different capabilities. That does not make you superior or inferior to me. We are equal. And this becomes a natural extension of I am unique. And this has huge impact. If we can teach this to our children and to ourselves. I don't have to do something. I am respected because I am. That's it. And this eliminates all artificial disparities created based on body consciousness, color, status, religion, gender, nationality, income, position, job, capability, performance, so many things. I am not saying you eliminate your performance review process. That is not what I am trying to communicate. But when you rate, don't try to rate the person. Because a person's potential can never be rated. What you are rating is that 1 year or that 6 months performance of that person. There's a big difference. And when we express that, it becomes so much more easier for them to accept and then work on their performance, because they know deep inside, just because you didn't achieve your sales targets in the 6 months, you did not fall in the eyes of your manager. That's what we look for, right? And when I start interacting with you, and not based on your performance, see the difference it makes to the relationship, then the chances of I improving actually increase. Because I also want to become a better version of myself. Because that is inbuilt in each one of us. Nobody gets up in the morning to say, let me fail today. Nobody wakes up with that thought. We all want to become a better version of ourselves. And as leaders, are we allowing our team members to become a better version of themselves instead of imposing artificial standards that we created? Let's do a simple exercise. Please write. I encourage each one of you to write. Please. Don't just sit there. Please write. And that's the only instruction I will give, nothing else. I will. We'll share the slide deck, yes. Just write about yourself, whatever comes to your mind. And I'm going to give you 2 minutes. Good. Does anyone want to volunteer to read? Yes, please. Yes. Very good. Very good. Yes. Fantastic. Very good. Thank you. Anyone else? Yes. Fantastic. Good for you. Fantastic. Very good. One more. Thank you. The last one there. Yes, sister. Go ahead. Yeah. Very good. You see something very interesting in what all they shared? Nobody talked about their role. Nobody talked about their role. As soon as I asked you, write about yourself, wantedly I kept it vague. I just said, write about yourself. So when you start thinking about yourself, none of us thinks about our role. We think about our qualities. Because deep inside, each one of us wants to be respected, and we know each one of us is valuable. I am valuable. I am virtuous. Because I have those qualities in me. Interesting? And when I feel that I am valuable, what does the other person also must be feeling? then do I have any right to look down upon them? Because they are valuable. Each one of us is valuable. Because this is one of the lines that we learn as a part of the daily Murli in Brahmakumaris. Har atma ki apni apni visheshta hai. Har atma ki apni apni visheshta hai. Visheshtaen alag alag ho sakti hain. Lekin hai visheshta. They may not have the same kind of speciality like you have, but they also have a speciality. And there is no soul who is bereft of these specialities. Because that is not law. Each one of us is valuable. I am valuable. That does not mean because I did not come first, you know, as he was saying, where coming second is always not coming first. You heard that in the video, what he was sharing? Because that is what became, what Shivani Ben was talking in the morning, the performance oriented culture. I am unique, I am valuable, I am equal. And start seeing what does this awareness make to our self-esteem. And the next one, very important, very powerful. I am master, I am creator. So preparing for this and reviewing my notes, I saw this. A couple of years ago, during COVID times, people do get in touch with me. So, one of my friends put me in touch with this person who was a drug addict. He was feeling helpless, hopeless, because he tried to become sober. He was not able to do it. And I, in the first initial session itself, after listening to him, I just started with this, just with this insight. You are the master. You can control your cravings. He never heard that. Nobody told him. Because of his addiction, he felt helpless. He thought he had no power. Once I said, you practice this, I am the master. I can control my cravings. Just with this practice, he was able to remain sober for the next one full year. He felt so empowered. I could see just with this introduction, he started getting tears in his eyes. Because he was always feeling that he was a slave for a substance. Because nobody told him that you are a master. You can assert your mastery. Just a shift in awareness. And since childhood we are told, man bandar hai, man kutta hai, man goda hai, control nahi kar sakte hai. To control karne ki koshish karna hi ban kar diya hai. But you start with this awareness, this is my mind, I can control it. See the difference it makes. If there is one insight you are going to take, let it be this. We are scared to practice meditation, we are scared to calm our thoughts down, we are scared of silence because we thought that I am a slave, I am a victim. You are not. I, as a master, I can control my thoughts. And now suddenly, the whole experience changes. Because now I know I can control, it requires some effort. That's it. Maybe few days, maybe few weeks. But I can do it. And as a master, I create my own experience. I choose to be happy. Because this awareness that I am the master, I am creator, I am creating my own experience. And see the difference it makes. Then, I don't have to give my remote control to everybody on the street. What Shivani Ben was also saying. He cut the car on the street and then your remote got pressed. Kaam wali aayi, remote press karke chali gayi. Team member aaya, remote press karke chala gaya. Client aaya, remote press karke chala gaya. And as a master, I respond, not react. I don't blame others or situations. And as a master, I am assertive. I am not aggressive. And being a master means accepting and acknowledging my capabilities and having faith in myself that I can do this. And when you combine these, see the power it generates. I am master, I am unique, so I don't have to do things like you do. I was speaking to one of the sisters here who is doing the seva, and then she said, I don't think I can give talks like what you're doing, Balabai, because I don't know English. And that's when I immediately wrote it down and said, I will discuss this. Because when we start with saying that there's a difference between I don't know English, I don't yet know English. Is there a difference? You should read this psychologist called Carol Dweck. Carol Dweck, CaroLDweck. For more than 35 years, she has been doing research in this area about fixed mindset and growth mindset. And there's a school that she talks about. They never tell the kid that you failed. You know what do they write? Yet to pass. Fascinating stuff. When you fail an exam, they don't write you failed. They will say yet to pass. I am yet to learn English. That means you can always learn English. You can start now. It might take time. And that's what moves you into position of strength. Because actions driven by faith in the self, they move me into position of strength. And when I operate from position of strength, I drive things instead of being driven. Whatever actions you are taking, are you taking them from a position of strength or are you taking them from a position of weakness? Very simple question. And when I operate from a position of strength, I acknowledge others' contribution and capabilities without feeling intimidated. That's a simple equation. I made it for myself. My disappointment is proportional to the square of my expectations. Expectation is my version of reality. Aisa hona chahiye. इनको ऐसा बिहेव करना चाहिए था लेकिन उन्होंने बिहेव नहीं किया दैट इज वाई आई एम डिसअपॉइंटेड बिकॉज एक्सपेक्टेशन इज नॉट एक्नॉलेजिंग रियालिटी बट माई वर्शन ऑफ रियालिटी एंड दैट इज वॉट क्रिएट्स अराउंड डिसअपॉइंटमेंट एंड वेन आई ऑपरेट फ्रॉम द पोजिशन ऑफ स्ट्रेंथ एंड आई नो आई एम यूनिक आई एम कंफर्टेबल इन माई ओन स्किन यस टूडे आई एम वीक आई एम वर्किंग टूवर्ड्स बिकमिंग स्ट्रांग And I don't have to feel ashamed of feeling weak because I am working on becoming stronger. So when I operate from a position of strength, this is how your brain would look like. This is the prefrontal cortex. That is the thinking brain. When I am relaxed and when I am operating from a position of strength, this is fully operational. And the emotional center, amygdala, is under check. But when I operate from a position of weakness, constantly worried about others' reactions, this is what happens. There is no blood supply to this thinking brain and my decision making suffers. So when I move from the position of weakness to position of strength, I am able to take better decisions. Yes or no? So what are the qualities of a master? Go ahead. Unique, very good. And? Self-control, fantastic. Driver, yes, fantastic. Lead by example, very good. Defines own destiny, fantastic. Calm. Control, valuable, creator, positive, very good, objective, yes, these are the qualities of master, just a beginning. And the opposite, these are the ones. And all these demotivate and keep a lid on your capabilities, even if you have them inside. I'm going to give you another very interesting insight, which is having a conversation with one of the colleagues from Sears in the afternoon. You have to do a task. Okay? And you can approach that in two ways. With this consciousness that I can do it, or with this consciousness that I cannot do it. It's the same you. It's the same task. Depending on what kind of awareness I have, I can either get motivated or demotivated. Yes or no? And depending on my motivation, the amount of energy I put in changes. And if I start with this positive motivation that I can do this, the chances of me succeeding increase or decrease. Fascinating stuff. The same me, the same exam, same interview, same task, but when I start from a position of strength, as a master, I can do it, suddenly my performance starts becoming better. But when I start saying, I can't, even if I know I can, if I start with I can't, my performance level comes down. If you are not a master, you can never operate at your full potential. Very simple. If you want to improve the potential or the performance of any of your team members, check. Are they operating from a position of weakness or are they operating from a position of strength? When I am a master, I focus on expressing myself. When I am not a master, I focus on impressing others. Yes. You are willing to work on it without feeling ashamed. Absolutely. That's what I said. You are yet to pass. Exactly. Because you are not becoming a better version of yourself. No. Yes. Master means you are in control. You feel you can change yourself. You can become better. Yes, whatever I am not good at, I will start working on them. Correct. Weakness. Absolutely. I am unique. Remember? Yeah. Yes. This is what is called as strengths-based management or strengths-based leadership. A lot of work has been done by Gartner and others. You might want to read up. It says, if you start operating on your strengths, you can make your 4 into a 5. But the same amount of energy when you keep only on working on your weakness, at the most your 2 will become a 3. Strengths-based management, strengths-based leadership, where you try to know who you are master of and not be ashamed of you not having that quality. Remember, because they have another quality, I have another quality. It's fine. That's fine too. Yes, please. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Very good. I am eternal. So we went to this Kidwai Memorial Cancer Hospital in Bangalore. We were a group of us, this is about 15, 16 years ago, where some of us were interested. They had a very small room which they were not using, so we cleaned it up and said, we'll just come here and meditate. They allowed us. So we, group of us, every day we went there and started meditating. And then some of these patients also started walking in. They said, this is a very nice meditation room. We feel good. Because in the hospital, they didn't have such a facility until then. And as they started practicing, they wanted to know more about the Brahma Kumari's philosophy. And then the first lesson, as you saw today morning, is Aham Atma Mama Shariram. And when we introduced that to them, it was such a big relief when they knew that I am not going to die. It is this body that I am going to leave, but I am alive in another body. And they started responding well even to the medicines, because now their awareness completely transformed. They thought this is the end. It was a full stop, but now it became just a comma, because my journey will continue. And doctors were surprised. They said, where did you get this? This fellow was so anxious, so worried. Now he is calm. He takes the medicine and he says, Doctor Saab, aap apna kaam karo. I am not anxious now. They all came to Mount Abu. They said, ye kya hai, hame dekhna hai. And they gave a separate room for conducting meditation and regular classes just with this first lesson. Aham Atma Mama Sharira. That I am not this body, I am this soul. I won't go into the details, but you can read about Ian Stevenson's studies on reincarnation and another fascinating area of near-death experiences. No, this is from near-death experiences. You will have many people. You can search. I can give you a couple of names. Raymond R. Moody is one of those who started this whole field. And there's some very interesting stuff you will also see on YouTube. The next one which I really love, which I learned after coming here, is I am light. What we practiced in the beginning. I am light. Shall we experience that again? Is that okay? But first, stand up. Good. Let's stretch ourselves a little bit and then we will experience I am light. Okay? Now you do what I do and say what I say. I won't confuse you anymore. Okay? Front. Up. Front. Down. Front. Up. Front. Down. Front. Up. Front. Down. Sit down. Let's sit straight. You can close your eyes if you feel comfortable that way, or you can keep your eyes open. Take a deep breath. Breathe slowly and deeply. Visualize a shining bright white star in the middle of your forehead. A shining bright white star spreading rays of peace and relaxation. As this white light spreads, all your bodily organs are dissolving. And you're able to see yourself as a being of light. Every cell of your body shining brightly and spreading light around you. Just bring in this thought, I am light. I am spreading light all around me. and I'm seeing these sparkles of light. All around me. The whole place got transformed into a sea of beautiful white light. And I feel so relaxed. And I'm feeling so light. I am light and I am feeling light. Gently move your arms, rub your palms and wipe your eyes. Another practice that you can do whenever you feel a little exhausted. This is another term that I learned at Brahma Kumaris. Swarup is light, Sthiti is light. So in my awareness, when I bring in that I am light, then my whole being also becomes light. I am powerful. If you believe you can do something, you are absolutely right. It all depends on what is your awareness. What specific challenges in my life can I overcome using the awareness of I am unique? You can start reflecting and start writing it down. Just that one principle. I am unique. And is there anything that you are currently facing in your life, whether in your personal or professional life, whereby applying this principle of I am unique, you can start thinking about the solutions? Just reflect. Very good. Now, there's one more interesting thing that I learned here. The difference between problem-centric mindset and solution-centric mindset. I need to become aware of the problem, but I don't need to only spend time with the problem. I should spend more time in designing the solution. Why am I waking up late? No use. I can give 1,000 reasons and I can make you cry also. But that doesn't solve my problem of me wanting to wake up early. Instead of starting with a why, I slightly change it. I am aware that I am waking up late. I ask myself, how can I wake up early? When my team member is coming late, I don't ask him or her, why are you coming late? Let's have a conversation. Irrelevant. Because that conversation is about the problem. It's not about the solution. But when they come in, I ask them, and this actually I did. I have noticed that you are coming late. Now can we work together? And what help and support you would need from me so that you can come on time? You might have 100 reasons. I acknowledge that. But that is not going to solve the problem here. So how can I help you? And how can you help yourself? Let's discuss about the how. That solution-centric mindset is very important, because otherwise we tend to spend a lot of time in that why. It won't work. It will keep you stuck. This is what I learned here. Very simple words, and the beauty of this language itself, the Hindi that we use, is so beautiful. Samadhan swarup bano, samasya swarup nahi. That is what we learn here. Become an embodiment of solution. Samadhan swarup, samasya swarup mat bano. Don't become an embodiment of problem. You know, my previous CEO, he taught me one very interesting lesson. He said, Bala, don't come to me with your problem or only the problem. By all means, bring it to my attention. We'll have a conversation. Come with a problem and your version of solution. Don't just come to me with only problems. Then we can have a nice conversation. What is your solution? Yes, this is a problem. What's your version of the solution? Let's have a conversation. Now the next one. What specific challenges in my life can I overcome using the awareness of I am master? What is it that has been stalling in your life which you haven't been able to do because you thought I can't do it, because I can't do it, I won't do it.